Good morning. Hi, John. How are you? just John and I talking this morning. He's the only one that responded. I appreciate Jeremy teaching last week. Everything go okay?
Nobody hit me.
Oh, okay. So we're going to jump back into this will be the second actual week on this content. That we're going to talk about called to bear fruit, and that's the workshop that I've prepared, and we're going to go through just very quickly to remind you what we're doing. It's really to kind of ask you this question, but over the series of several weeks, which is, what's been the impact, or what is the impact of you being a Christian? What fruit is being bared there? And really helping you to think, hopefully, a little bit about what your unique contribution is to the Lord's mission and what role you play in the kingdom. And really, Mike made this comment 2 weeks ago, which I was struck by, and that is that when you try to search and say, look for Christian growth, you know, in the New Testament, look for scriptures that talk about Christian growth, specifically using those terms, you won't find it, or you won't find it very often. What you do find is this concept of bearing fruit. And so you're going to see that that's what we've built the class around. And specifically, we're really hoping that if I do this partly effectively, that you will feel a little bit of an urgency here to recognize and understand there is fruit that needs to be born. Hopefully, it'll remind you where to connect for the source of nourishment, to consider what some of the fruit are. Although I will say this is a workshop much larger in scope than just the fruit of the Spirit. We will talk about the fruit of the Spirit 1 week, maybe two, but there's a lot more to this than just those. But those are critical as part of this as well. We're going to talk about what fruit do we bear that is worthy of God, and who do we bear fruit for. We'll talk about all of these things as we continue to go through. And this is kind of the outline that I'm working against. Last week, we talked about being known by our fruit. It's remarkable the number of scriptures that say you'll know them by their fruit. Both the good and the bad, you will know by their fruit. Not by the name that they wear, or not by the name of the church building that they go to, but by their fruit. Today, we're going to talk about the call to bear fruit, going to go through some of those scriptures. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the consequences of not bearing fruit. It's pretty stark, pretty direct, actually. And then we will talk about the conditions for bearing fruit. There are some things, just like, an apple orchard or a vineyard, there are things that are required to really be effective in bearing fruit. And God uses that same metaphor to help us understand some of the conditions that are required. Then we're going to talk about the fruit of conduct, character, and conversion. I think it was at the end of the class last time, John made the point that one of the ways we bear fruit is by other Christians. And as I mentioned briefly last time, I'm going to share with you some recent research that's a little startling around that. And then lastly, we'll talk specifically about how do you bear fruit in our church, in our connections, in our contributions, in our community. I had to work hard to get them all be in the sea. and then last week, I asked you to think about, at the end of each session, I'm going to ask you to tend the soil a little bit, to prepare for your ability to bear fruit. And specifically, I asked you these four questions last time. You know, what are your unique gifts God has granted you? Do you know them? It's an interesting question to ask people, because a lot of times people will not be forthright with what they think their gifts are. We'll talk more about that over this period of time together, too. What purpose has God been preparing you for? You know, what are you attempting to do? What fruit have you been called to bear? Who will benefit from the fruit you've been called to bear? Those are the things we talked a little bit about last time. And today we're going to talk about the call. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, thank you for the way that you call us to bear fruit. Thank you, Father, for the accountability and the responsibilities you give us to be a servant who glorifies you by what we do and what our heart is as well, but also what we do. Father, we thank you for the way that you take care of us, you protect us, and we thank you for the things that you have done to change our lives, the fruit that we have seen through you in our lives. We ask, God, your blessings on this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with John 15. It's kind of a lengthy passage, so I'm going to read this to you. It's a few different slides. And again, think about this context of bearing fruit and how this scripture has some context for it, because I'm going to ask you how you think this scripture helps us understand that. So John 15, starting in verse 7, says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. For this is my, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, I will..." If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have come to call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." I must have cut and pasted incorrectly there. I did, because things "there is no law" is from a previous scripture that I cut into, so I apologize for that. So tell me, what do you think, guys? This is just a first call, and hopefully you'll start to see that. Who's speaking here, by the way, in John 15? Yeah, I guess I should have put this in red. It might have made it a little easier to know that. Oh, man. Only reason Mike knew that was it was in red in his Bible. You cheated. But tell me, what's the call here? Why do you think Jesus is using fruit here as he's talking about that? How does he use fruit? Mike?
Yeah, he's tying our bearing fruit to giving glory to God, which is really interesting. And I think I've read this many times, but didn't notice that connection. By this my Father's glorified. And so if we are not, then we're missing out on an opportunity to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And what does that even mean in the life of a human? But it's tied to worship. It's tied to honoring God. And usually we think of that as what we do here on Sunday morning. But this is an all day long, all week long.
Yeah, it's interesting how he does tie this idea of this is how the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. It's also interesting that he says, "and prove to be my disciples." You know, how do they know God's disciples? By their love. Interesting. I saw another hand. John?
Yeah, his Father and his mission. Jesus' mission. And just, helps us to realize that we're
Okay. Thank you. Furthering the mission. Sharon.
I'm reading this where it says that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is something that is to give us something, a a reward, so to speak, for going out and sharing him with others. And it's not a job to do. It's something to make us feel that inner peace and joy that he's talking about there.
Interesting point, isn't it? Because, you know, if you listen to what the world might say, it is, you know, I need to get these things around me to give me joy. And what he appears to be saying here is the way that you actually find joy is doing something for someone else, or, you know, going outside, bearing fruit for others. Yes, Sharon?
Going on, what do we teach our children about joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I mean, it's just all tied up in there.
Sure it is. Jim?
It also strikes me that this is a partnership. He starts off by saying, ask, and if you abide in me, it will be done, and this leads to fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, the scripture right before this is a scripture we'll spend time with in a couple of weeks in a lot of detail, which talks about, you know, I'm the vine, and, you know, we kind of must be connected. Great point. Steve, I think that's a hand, too, behind
yeah.
Donna's head.
It is also interesting that there's a double thing happening. He's giving this lesson to his disciples and explaining to them things, but he's also giving them a lesson that who he is with relationship to the Father. He says, my Father. And that this relationship, and when he says right after this, you know, the whole thing we've been discussing, that he says, you know, as the Father loved me, I've loved you, abide in my love. And he said, if you keep my commandments. So there is a connection there. So this is a teaching moment for them to say, okay, how do you bear fruit? Well, a big way is to keep my commandments. Listen to what I've told you. Live your lives this way, and that's like not just one simple little thing. If we talk about his commandments, that's a whole quarter of class just right there by itself. But he says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. So it's tied up in this whole thing of he's bound to God by love, and he did what God asked him to do through his commandments and the actions he did. And he said, you follow my example and you do what I've commanded you. Why? Because what I've given you is actually what he commanded in the first place. And so he's given a double authority. He himself is God of his own, but then God the Father is a double level of authority. It's a double authority he's given him to say, here, follow my example, and this is where you're going to bear fruit. And if you take that and stretch that out a little more, you can then understand the fruit he bore was also from the Father. So think about it, that might blow a lot of people's minds. Wait a minute, we got to talk about the fruit that Jesus bore as part of all this, and maybe that's enlightening for us to go, oh, yeah, what did he do? Judge him by his fruit, see what his fruit was, and then you're supposed to heal it. As an example, and these guys that he's talking to are part of this fruit.
Interesting points, isn't it? I mean, this idea of judging Jesus by his fruit. Well, we do that all the time, actually. Every Sunday we judge him. He even references here that no greater love hath someone to lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, that's one fruit that he bore. He also, as Steve just suggested, he bore the fruit of following God's commands. So we have these opportunities. John, again? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, think of the fruit that Jesus bore. He came to seek and save the lost. Okay. He did seek and save lost. Jim?
So it strikes me that you could expand this, that there are other fruits. I mean, he says, by your fruit you shall know them. Well, that also implies that someone else has fruit that is not his.
Yes.
So we have to bear the right fruit.
Yes.
To his core.
It's a great point. And next week we're going to talk very specifically about the good fruit and the bad fruit and what happens in those situations. That's a great point too. Now look at the end of this when he reminds us again that he doesn't call us servants, but because we know the master's business. That's an interesting concept. Do you know the master's business? You know, I mean, those of us that work within a business have a context a lot of times for what the business does and what the business is trying to produce and what its outcomes are. And we're usually rewarded for the kind of fruit, if you will, that we bear to help those things happen. But I'm just curious if you know the master's business. Do I know the master's business? And then he says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Let's talk first about the choosing part. What do you think that means? Is that specific to these people because he did go and call these people? You know, like was mentioned earlier, you know, they were fishermen, they were tax collectors and other things like that. I mean, is that who he's talking to here, do you think? That when he says, you did not choose me, I chose you? What do you think? Sharon's mouthing me something, but she needs to say it.
No, it means all of us.
It does it?
Yes.
So you think it means all of us? But what does it mean then to be, that he didn't, that he chose us, we didn't choose him?
He says he knows his followers.
He knows his sheep, yeah?
Yes.
Good?
Yeah.
The sheep know his voice and follow him? What are you thinking?
At first, when we read this the first time, I was like a little bit confused. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought about it, he always chooses the people and you and her and him. And he always chooses. If you're bearing his fruit, then you are going to reciprocate that. Like maybe initially, no, I didn't choose Jesus. But he always chooses me. And then if I'm going to follow this, then I'm going to end up reciprocating that.
Okay.
But if I screw up, he's still going to choose me.
Okay. So Leah makes the point that God is always choosing us. I mean, even you could argue in the sacrifice of Jesus, he chose mankind again to try to, right, justify and bring him back to God. Steve?
Yeah, that was the direction I was saying. That we cannot choose for Jesus to come down here and make a sacrifice. There's nothing we could ever do to make that happen. Can't force it. We could request it, I suppose, but it's still not our choice to say, yes, you're going to do this. He, on the other hand, chose to come and make the sacrifice. And so, by that, as an extension, trying to combine what you and Leah said, is that he has chosen everyone to be his follower, who will turn and become that follower. He made the call to everybody. So he is chosen in that sense by making the choice to come here is in de facto choosing everybody to be his followers. He's extended the invitation, be my follower.
So Steve makes an interesting point too. I think that a couple of them, but one of them in particular jumps at me, which is this idea that he chose this. You know, we could have requested him to, you know, we need a savior. But he chose to be the Savior. It's an interesting thing. And did you call me fatso earlier? Oh, de facto. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought for a second you could. Shauna. I think I saw Shauna's hand, right?
I think it is important a little bit. This is a very specific conversation with those who answered the call. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is not speaking to the crowds. This is to his specific 12 apostles. And that call is out there for everyone, but this was to those who said, yes, I'm going to answer that call. And I think that that call is out to all people. And that is how the apostles obeyed and spread that call to all people. So it does apply to us, but it applies to kind of those followers at that moment and then beyond.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. What do you think about this idea of you appointed you that you can go bear fruit, fruit that will last? I remember when I was in graduate school, fruit does not last. Because there might have been that apple in my refrigerator forever. It doesn't just last, right? So what is that? Yeah, Jim?
That's a role. He says, I'm giving you a role. He's not saying, well, I'm giving Peter the role, but I'm not giving John the role. He's not saying, I'm giving Jim the role, but not Jim the role.
Yeah.
it's a blanket appointment to everyone that is a role that we all have.
Interesting. It's a role. It's a role. Michael?
Yeah, and I think on the fruit that will last part of that, I think what I think of there is, I think of when I am hearing people talk about all sorts of things, different things that they'll say will have more of a deep and lasting impact on me. So like I'll remember something, you know, that someone says, even if they don't mean it to be a big memorable thing, and I'll take that and I'll carry it with me the rest of, you know, my life.
Okay, guys, be careful what you say to Michael.
compare that with the things that, you know, in casual conversation where it's, you know, fleeting words that just go by and, you know, it doesn't really last. And I think he's saying here to go out and do things that will last and will make an impact.
Yeah.
Do those things that aren't just, you know, the passing forward kind of things.
Yeah, you know, thank you, Michael. I may have shared this with you, and I apologize if I did, but it'll just be redundant. But I had this experience when I was when I went back to school. You know, most of you know I went back to school late in life, and I had to do this assignment, which was to get in front of the group and to talk to a large population about these 128 competencies. I had to demonstrate that I had done these things, like create a strategic vision for a company and, you know, help them implement a change project and all this kind of stuff. And so I was talking about all of these things, and all of a sudden in the middle of it, I realized that every single thing I was talking about doesn't exist anymore. I did say this because I said it last week, because Michael had a similar experience. Yeah, that is something that is startling to you. And here we're being called to do something that will last. It's like the mission of this organization is an everlasting mission, not like the mission of the organizations that I have worked for. And one other thing I want to say real quick, and then I'll get to both of you, is he also, I think it's fascinating that he says, he appoints you that you may go bear fruit. He doesn't say, I appoint you that you may go bear grapes. And the reason why I say that is your fruit and my fruit may be similar but a little different. But they're fruit. Jim, and then Steve.
So the counterpoint to your story about your experience.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was, but there was somebody who approached my grandmother and said, come join us, be a Christian. She taught my mom and by extension my father, who were Christians, and by extension taught us, my sister, me, and it's continued. That one bearing fruit that one person did century ago continues to
Great example. Yeah, thank you. Steve?
sparked me to think about something that I never thought of it this way before. But think about, you know, something that bears this fruit. It's like, he's called it a vine. So he's probably talking about a grapevine. It's his basic analogy. We don't have to be lost in what he said, that it's specifically, but if you think about it, you know, this branch of a grapevine bears more than one grape. If it didn't, that would be one you pruned and cut, cast off. So there's a bunch of grapes on this guy. So, and they'll be there for a while, and then they either get picked and eaten, or smashed, whatever, and or they wither up and they turn into a seed, fall off, whatever. But it then grows another, and then it'll grow another, and it grows another. And that was something I never really thought about that before.
Good point.
Let me blend that with Jim's example. So somebody spreads the word to somebody else. They give them the gospel, and that bears the fruit of it. But then they go and do it to someone else, and then there's another.
Yeah.
And so it's maybe it's something that we don't think about as much. We tend to think of it as because of Galatians. You know, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Boom, boom, boom. But maybe it's, okay, you have a, I'm going to pick one that's near and dear to me because it's my struggle, patience, is that...
Hurry up, Steve.
Okay.
Sorry. Couldn't resist.
So, you know, here I have to be patient here, so I can generate this within myself that's not natural. I have to force myself to be patient here. I have to do it again over here. After the beginning, I have to do it again. It's not that, oh, here, I'm patient, I've got this fruit. But it's a continual look. Here's an example of me. Here's an example of loving somebody, I'm going to do this and help them. Here's an example. So it's a continuous production of fruit for me, rather than just this bump of, I've got love.
Right. Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, the idea that fruit, by definition, has seeds, which is designed to produce more fruit, which has seeds, which is designed to produce more fruit. And then Steve also, I think, makes the great point of it's not just once you're asked to do this. This is a continual kind of thing, fruit that will last. And again, I don't know if it's just because of my age or stage of life or things like that, but I'm starting to think a lot more about legacy, you know, the concept, you know, it's like what you leave behind. And when you start to think about that, and there's even a couple songs that talk about bearing fruit for heaven, you know, in heaven, it's like you're planting things in an eternal way versus in a physical way. Yeah, interesting to think about. Good, thank you. Another long passage, but it gives us a little more insight to this call. And this one is from Matthew 7. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and prophets. We could spend weeks on that. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. The healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. But every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So what's the call here? We see some of the consequences here, particularly at the end. But we are asked to be the healthy tree here, to bear fruit. And I started at this specific verse on purpose, because I think one way to think about the fruit we would like to bear or being called to bear is the fruit that we would like someone to bear for us. Maybe, in fact, the fruit that we should be bearing for other people. What do you think?
Yes.
Technically, that's an incorrect answer because I didn't ask a closed question, but I'll let it slide.
You just asked what
to do. I think yes. You think yes? Yes. I'm starting to kind of figure out, trying to help hopefully all of us, try to figure out what is this fruit we're talking about and what are the things we're supposed to be doing. I also think it's fascinating that he talks about the narrow and the wide gate. And those that go through the narrow gate, it says, it's hard to find and it leads to life, but there are few who find it. Michael.
So how do we put this passage next to, for example, the passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul describes his ministry as all this suffering, all this trouble, you know? And yes, it's borne fruit, of course it has. But from a from one perspective, look at this troublemaker who's just always getting in trouble everywhere. Boy, that's his fruit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody look at it that way.
Mm. I think so, and I think your daughter's going to answer this.
I was thinking one thing, you said that it kind of like, you know, kind of connected to a couple of things. So, like, in order for a tree to not get diseased, it has to produce things inside of it that will fight the things that are coming in and trying to contaminate. So, it's either these bacteria or yeast or, you know, fungi that are trying to, like, eat this plant or, like, use it to grow themselves, like, on the fruit or, like, in the roots or things like that. And the plant has to produce things inside itself to fight those things so that it can't affect it and affect the fruit. So I think it's interesting because it's an active thing that the plant is always using, and you have to, you know, sacrifice energy for other things in order to make the things to fight off the bacteria and things like that. So I think that you look at trials and things like that, and even though the trials are there, the fruit is produced because it didn't contaminate the plant. And I think that that might, I don't even know if that's necessarily what this passage, like the point of it is, but that's something that I got out of it that I think is applicable to us, because we have to be constantly like making sure that our fruit is not being contaminated by trials or false motives and hurting other people.
Wonderful point, wonderful point. And that bio 1 and 2 is paying off. I can see it.
Going back to Mike's question, the other way to look at it, as, which was an interesting thing to talk about earlier, was what was the fruit of Jesus? And he had the same issue. I mean, he had people that said, well, he's a troublemaker. Let's kill him. And yet he said, I'm going through all of this for the glory of God. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it so God will be glorified. And I guess that's the answer about Paul. Is you look at his life and I emulated Jesus, and yes, there's the other entity who will always say, you're a troublemaker, you shouldn't be doing that, and try to keep us from doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if it brings God to glory, then you know it's good fruit.
Good. Michael?
You're the kind of
go ahead.
Sort of a question that you have to apply by that could be.
I thought he's going to go a different direction.
A bit scary or dangerous to think about, depending on how much thought we actually give it, but we should assess if we understand fully what makes a good fruit. Because if we have this idea of a certain thing that is a good fruit, that's like, for instance, let's say, you know, there's a certain good work that we can do that is a good fruit. And the methods that we get to that are terrible in some way. I think we should not be trying to achieve that fruit in the first place if it's going to be so horrible along the way. So it's such a difficult thing because you don't want to just throw out everything that, you know, might be difficult. But I think it's interesting to, I guess, keep in mind the dangers of instantly recognizing something as a good fruit if it wasn't achieved in the right way, I guess.
So I see bio class, now I see ethics class. I tell you, you guys are getting a lot of good stuff here. This is great. But I mean, that's an interesting point. And well, I'll go to a couple others. I'll come back to it. Mick?
It's interesting what Jim was saying about Jesus. Because if you really think about it, if you transport yourself back to, you know, a few days even after his resurrection, even right after Pentecost, it was a total abysmal failure. I mean, it was just one guy who was acting crazy and was murdered, and he had a handful of followers, at the most about 100 or so, and they were scattered to the wind, and that was that. And really, it was over. And when we think about fruit, I'm not a farmer, I don't know really anything about Abigail, it sounds like she's going into some sort of a horticulture. I do know that you plant an apple tree in the, you know, right now, you are not going to have apples in the spring or the next spring or maybe in a few springs. I don't know how long it takes, but I know it takes a long time to get good fruit out of the tree. Or whatever. But that's the thing about fruit, is that you don't always see it, and you're not going to always see it. And it's not always, I think that's why he talks about the narrow path when he talks about fruit. Because if it was easy, it would be easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to produce good fruit. It's not easy to raise a good family. It's not easy to be a faithful Christian, especially now. When you look at the ridiculousness that passes for wisdom in this country, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what people believe in this world. And you look at the fruit that this is producing, and it's just phenomenally sad.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and it's fascinating to think about this idea of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. So the implication is they look mild, they look, you know, they look like every other sheep, but their fruit is what demonstrates who they are, right? So unfortunately, you see people who come in the clothing, but actually they're sowing dissension and they're sowing division, and the fruit of who they are is anger and frustration. And I'm not talking about the political, which some of you probably went to, and that's easy to do that. I'm talking about in the church, right? Because they look right, but they can just sow the wrong kinds of things. And of course it's true, you know, external. To the world. Guys, I got about four more scriptures, so I'm going to keep moving real quick here. I'm sorry. And this one's a long one. Because I want to get to a couple things real at the end here. But be careful how you live, right? So let's look at Ephesians. This is Ephesians 5. I'm going to read 1 to 20. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. There should not be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what is the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did I include this? Well, a couple reasons. One of them, it talks specifically about the fruit that is not good fruit. And talks about that. And it talks about what some of the fruit is. And then this concept of, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So, fruit. My should be yielding fruit of goodness, of righteousness, and of truth. And what pleases the Lord. I think that's a really interesting phrase. And then lastly, this idea, be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Any reactions or thoughts to this scripture? John? Sure.
We've seen a lot about that through the you and other people go there, right? And you know, that's such a blessing to see in this day and time. I know it's all the way across the world, but still, you know, God's will is being done and you're seeing the fruits of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, John. I appreciate that. Any other comments on this scripture? Yeah, Mike?
Real quick, you know, he talks about in the slide before, the fruitless deeds of darkness. The enemy doesn't care if you bear fruit. You know, he doesn't care. You know, you don't have to bear fruit for Satan. He will, you know, he'll work his things. But he doesn't want you to be productive. He just wants you to be selfish. He just wants you to be focused on, you know, the things that are not of God, not glorifying God. But he doesn't need you to be a great success. He'll turn you into a, you know, thing for his uses one way or the other.
Interesting point. Jim?
Yeah, and so tying with what John was talking about, James' connection and that, an opportunity isn't just a need. An opportunity is a need with the resources to meet it. And he gives us the resources, and he did with James' connection.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Steve?
And the last thing he says is, and he points to a fruit that is an important fruit, is to be there for one another, support one another, build one another up. He doesn't use those exact words, but that's mm-hmm. the point that he does use those words in other places. You know, what he's saying here is this is an important fruit. I think he left it for the last because he sees it as something important. The rest is important too. This, we need to be there for one another, build one another up, support. I mean, this whole thing about, you know, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, well, it's not so that they can hear what a great voice you've got. It's you can help them in their struggles and their needs to remain focused and keep, you know, keep from letting the bad stuff pull us down. Yeah, kind of what was being said earlier, that those bad things can influence us, but we help one another to not let that happen. And I think that's why it's important. He says this is important. Be there for one another so that you can help them to keep the bad stuff from getting to you.
Isn't it fascinating how we do that? We speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. It's a different thing when we encourage and support each other because we're all saying, look at that, versus, oh, you're great, you're amazing, you're, look. You know, even in this one another passage here, he's really talking about the way the fruit we bear helps point people to an everlasting fruit, right? Got a couple more real quick. Just wanted you to think about this. This is from Titus 3, and it says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. For as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and twice, have nothing to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is condemned. And I'm skipping down to 14, 12 to 13, talk about personal connections. But he says, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. You know, last week we talked about James a little bit in terms of, you know, show me your faith, I'll show you my faith through my action. And here we're being encouraged in Titus to devote ourselves to good work, to know, to be careful, to devote ourselves to good work. Out of the abundance of the heart. And so this is now from Luke 6. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from the bramble bush. A good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So again, you're going to see a little bit of a bias that I have in this conversation, and that is that we often think of the fruit of the Spirit as things that benefit me. And in this context, the fruit of the Spirit and all of these things are things that come out of me. They're only in my Spirit gives them to me for my blessing, but really so I can bless you. We'll talk about that more. I'm not going to read the scripture because you know it. This is the scripture that says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Again, what fruit are we bearing? And then someone actually mentioned this earlier, so I wanted to get to it and read this. And that's the issue of it's hard to be bearing fruit. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit from the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, like the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. For you've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. It's fascinating that even when we are waiting for fruit to sprout, there's a benefit that comes from that fruit. And when we see people struggling to bear their fruit, there's a benefit that comes from that process. So as I did last week, I gave you some questions to think about around how to prepare your heart. I'm going to do the same thing this week. And these are the four questions I'd like for you to think about this week. One is, what fruit are you bearing to the glory of God? You might be able to identify fruit. You might even be able to identify good fruit, but I want to ask you, what fruit are you bearing to the glory of God? And the fruit that you are bearing, is it designed to last? Thirdly, how are you making the most of every opportunity? That's a very challenging one for me personally. How do I find ways to bear fruit in every opportunity? And then, to what good work are you devoted? And actually use the term, devote yourself to good works. Devote yourself. What are you devoted toward? And then next week, we're going to talk about the consequences. And if you'd like to look that up, Matthew 3:10 is a place to start. Quick word of prayer, please. Father, thank you for bearing fruit in our lives. Help us to bear fruit for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks all. Thank you. sure.